and a very pleasant good morning to the Lord's church. And I am truly thankful this morning to be back with you. I want to take just a moment of my time on two or three personal little notes this morning, and then, the Lord willing, I'll read my text and hopefully be very mindful of the preachers that are to follow me. We have some very able preachers that to follow me, and I want to be nice and kind this morning and not take too much time. But there's two or three things on my heart that I'd like to say. They're probably personal, may not mean much to you. But when your head begins to bloom for glory, the frost of many winters showing upon it is mine. There's some things that become very precious to you. And this meeting is one of them that has become very precious to me. I've been blessed for 15 years to attend every meeting. I was blessed to be in the constitution of the church and also of this meeting. I figured up coming on up here that I've driven to this one meeting 90,000 miles. This is 90,000 miles this year from my home here and back that I've been coming to this meeting. And I can truly say I would not take a mile back. It's been a blessing to me. Over the years, there are many of you I have grown to love so dearly, and it was because of this meeting. There are those who have gone on to glory and been with the Lord that we used to have with us. I say to you this morning, as a family, we are a family, for we are kin. We all have the same Father, and that makes us especially kin. This is why that I encourage you, let nothing come between us, make us afraid. Let nothing ever even almost seem that it's going to disturb us. For as I look and behold your countenance this morning, how sad it would be if there was no Pigeon Forge meeting every year to come to. Secondly, I wanted to say to Brother Larry, to his family, to Brother Hunt, to the deacons of the church here and its members, how very much I appreciate the hard work that they do every year in sponsoring this meeting. I want to especially point out Brother Barker and his family and the good natural food that he feeds us every morning. This is really beyond the call of duty. Brother Barker doesn't have to do this, but he chose to walk in the footsteps of his precious father, Roy Barker. Many of you knew him. And Brother Roy started this 15 years ago, inviting us in and feeding us at his restaurant. I want to publicly say how much I appreciate this family. Can you imagine how many tons of food we old Baptists have eaten up in 15 years? And yet they have never asked for a dime back. Number three, I want to thank each one of you who have committed yourselves every year to be at this meeting. To you who have contributed to this meeting. Now you know there's a difference in a commitment and a contribution. There was this little hen and this little pig who in the barnyard decided that they would have a campaign to raise some money to help those in the barnyard. So the little hen came to the pig and said, I'm going to give a dozen eggs. How about you give some ham? And the little pig says, I can understand your contribution, but you asked me to make a full dedication contribution. So consequently, some of you over the years have made that contribution and dedication. I appreciate Brother Harold Hunt so very much. He too has worked hard. And to all of you who've had any part on my behalf, thank you. And I probably am speaking for many of the congregation. This morning, I'd like to read my text from the book of Revelation. If you have the scriptures and care to read along, I'd like for us to look at Revelation chapter 15. Revelation 14. In Revelation chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I've been privileged to visit in many of your churches, been privileged to preach in about 28 states. In some of your churches I've been in, and some of you who are here from close by, the churches that I serve at home, will probably recognize this text and say, well, Brother Lonnie, I've heard that one before. But I want you to know that if it wasn't good enough, if it wasn't good enough to deliver the first time, it probably is not good. If it was, it would not be good enough to repeat. What I'm trying to say is, if it wasn't good enough to preach the first time, then it probably isn't good enough to repeat, or vice versa. Yes, I've tried to use this text before, but this text is upon my mind so greatly this morning. And I do know that there are some preachers who can take a different text every time and preach the same sermon. And then there are some preachers who can take the same text and preach a different sermon. And in this particular passage of Scripture, there are at least three things that we could talk about this morning. We could talk about blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Notice that expression, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. We could talk about that, talk about heaven and what a beautiful place it is. And I feel that we would all rejoice over that subject this morning. Secondly, they may rest from their labors. Nothing sweeter in a text than to speak of the rest for the children of God. There is a rest for the children of God. So we can see at least two different avenues of thought and two different sermons in that passage of Scripture so far. But then there's a third. In order that I might not make my sermon too long this morning, I shall leave the first two thoughts off, because I want to use the last part of this verse for my text, and their works do follow them. My subject this morning, and their works do follow them. Now, if I had gone to school, had have gotten a lot of education, maybe from some of the religious schools today, I know about how I'd preach that. If it is that I had been taught and brought up in some other school of thinking, I would probably know how that I would speak to you this morning concerning that, and their works do follow them. For there are some who understand and believe that what we do up down here on earth is going to determine how we fare in heaven after a while. Some understand that our works are going to follow us on into heaven, and we who have done a lot of good works are going to have a crown about big as a wagon wheel, and we'll have a lot of good stars in it for every work that we have done. This is not to be critical, but just to point out to you, some people believe it that way. But friends, I have happy news for you this morning. there was only one whose work followed him on into heaven. And he's sitting on the right hand of the Father today making intercessions for his people. There's only one who's going to be wearing a crown after a while, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who is worthy to wear that crown. Yes, we know that our Lord Jesus Christ, his work, followed him on into heaven. And I'm so thankful that it did, because there this morning we can also join a text that will be found in the book of Timothy chapter 5, where the 24th verse, some men's sins are open beforehand, going to judgment. Some men they follow after. Likewise also the good work of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Now this says some men's sins go before them unto judgment. And all of God's children, all those whom Jesus Christ died for, all that was given to him in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, was judged in Christ. Their sins have gone before them in Christ. And when Jesus hung upon the cross, he represented every heir of promise. So therefore our sins have gone on before us under judgment in Jesus Christ. And then it says, and their works likewise do follow. Yes, our works do follow us. Our works do not follow us into heaven, but they follow us whenever this life is over. They follow us as those who are now dead and gone. We could go back to the beginning of the Bible. We could find such men as Moses, whose work is still following him in the mind of the Jewish people today. There are those in the Bible whose work is still following them. The Bible said, though they were dead, yet they speak. And we know that there are many that is in the Bible that are still speaking even to this day, though they are dead. But we can bring this on down, friends. It's not only spiritual and biblical, but also we can bring it down to us. Our work will follow us. It'll follow us in the minds of our loved ones. It'll follow us in the minds of our brethren and sisters in the church. Whenever we lay down in death, when we breathe out our last, whenever our casket is placed before the pulpit, and we pass by those that are alive and remain, our work is going to follow us. Whenever they look at us for the last time, our work will be following us in the minds of our loved ones. Mom, remember this. Your work is going to follow you in the mind of those children of yours. Again, whenever they pass by and look at you for the last time, your work is going to follow you. They're going to remember what kind of mom you was. They're going to remember, Dad, what kind of dad that you were. The children are going to remember, and it's going to either be good or it's going to be bad. You notice it says, and their works shall follow them. It didn't say that it had to be bad works that follow you. It did not say that these works would have to be that which you could have to be ashamed of, or that the children would have to be ashamed of, because how many of you have buried mom, have buried dad already, and the only thing that you can now think about is the precious work of mom. You can think about when she used to rise early in the morning that she might be busy with her hands to see that you had something good to eat, that you had something good to wear to school or wherever you were going. You can remember how mom used to sacrifice and do without in order that you, the children, might have that which was necessary and she wanted you to have. Yes, You have happy memories of Mother. As a matter of fact, it's very hard to think of anything that wasn't precious about Mother. Also, Dad, the children will remember. Did you have time for them? Did you have time to be a father unto them? Or were you too busy? Were you too busy climbing the corporate ladder? Were you too busy making financial promises and financial security for the future? You became a workaholic and didn't have time. The children will remember when they pass by your works. But it doesn't have to be that way, Dad. You remember that you can also be remembered as one of the finest fathers that ever lived in the world. Your children can remember your work as they pass by your casket. Many of you know my son, Lonnie Jr. Shirley and I, that's my wife, we have five children. My children love to come home and they love to get together. And whenever they get together, they love to kind of laugh and say, the fondest memories I have of my dad was whenever we were little and he used to get down on the floor and play with us. He used to take me fishing. And they'd just go on and on and on and know that I never did any of that. And they love to tell that because Lonnie says that it amazes him that he goes across country and people say to him, your dad must be a wonderful man. Said he pays so much attention to the children when he comes in the home. He just talks to them and plays with them. And Lonnie says, I wonder where that was when I was coming up. Seriously, we'll be remembered, fathers. We'll be remembered. Our work will follow us. You who are school teachers this morning, you may think and get awfully discouraged and think, I'm doing no good. But remember, you're helping to shape and to mold the minds of those little ones that will go with them to their grave. Yes, whenever they grow up, they will remember you school teachers. They will remember who it was that helped them to get their education. But now again, let's bring it on down to us personally, to the church. I want you to hear me carefully now from here out. You may not all agree with me on all points, but please hear me. Please know that whether you believe it or not, I certainly do. And that is, our work is going to follow us, whether we be preacher, whether we be deacon, or whether we be lay member. Our work is going to follow us. Let us begin with the lay members. You, the church, you're going to be remembered. Whenever, again, if people have time to see you all, of course, as Brother Hunt said one time, if you want folks to come to your funeral, you need to try to arrange the dial on about a Friday, so they can bury you on Sunday afternoon, because folks hadn't got time to come see you off much anymore. As a matter of fact, we done got it so instant in my little town that we have a drive-in window. You can just drive by and sign the book and look at about 10 seconds and drive on. We got drive-in service in my little town. Yes, people don't have time much anymore to come and see you off. But you can remember that they will remember you. The church will remember you. The church will remember what kind of member you are. The church will remember how you contributed and helped the welfare of the church. The church will remember whether that you were always seeking for peace, as our Lord taught us in the book of Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemaker. Yes, friends, your work is going to follow you. And how many times there are that we will bury a precious brother or sister, and we will weep and weep because of our memory, a precious memory of this one who was such a dedicated member of the church. Never absenting themselves, never using excuses, always presenting themselves a living sacrifice, their body, and doing that which they could to build up the cause and the kingdom of the church. Yes, members of the church, remember, your work will follow you in the minds of the rest of that church whenever you are gone. Deacons, listen to me carefully. The Lord said, excuse me, the book of Acts teaches us that the load got too heavy for the pastor. Said, look ye out, 7 men of good honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we might set over this work. For we're going to give ourselves continually to study into the preaching of the word. They looked out 7 men, they ordained those 7 men, and now then they said, this is your table to serve. And consequently, the deacons have tables to serve. I do not just mean helping the preacher pass the wine in communion. I do not mean just picking up the little change off the table after the service. Friends, if that's all that we needed deacons for, I can pick up the little change on my way out, and I can sure serve the wine and the bread by myself. No, we need deacons to serve the tables. The tables of sin about the widows and the offerings, that's what the murmuring was all about to begin with, is because the widows were being neglected. So consequently, we need deacons, do your job. Now don't think less of me, because this next statement is probably going to sound hard. Don't be just deacon in name only. Anybody can do that. You can be a dummy and do that. But if you're going to really carry out the office, be that which you have been ordained to do. Do as these Smoky Mountain deacons up here are doing. Have you noticed how hard that they have worked? I'm sure that in your church you have working deacons. Nothing greater than a working deacon. Nothing, I guess, more sadder than a deacon who just is a deacon in name only. Your work will follow you. Your church will remember if you were a good deacon or not. Your church will remember when you're gone. And probably the expression will be, what are we going to do now without our deacon? Yes, deacons, your work will follow you. People will remember in the church just what kind of a man and what kind of a deacon that you really are. Preachers, please hear me. Your work will follow you. My work is going to follow me. And I'm going to keep saying I, and me. Because I wouldn't want you to think I was reflecting upon a single preacher, present or absent. For I can truly say the Lord is my witness this morning. I have not one ought against one preacher in this whole wide world. I do not always agree on every point with them, but I love them for Christ's sake enough that I have not an ought against a preacher. I love them all. But preachers, our work is going to follow us. Whenever my children walk by my casket for the last time, they look at their dad, my work is going to follow me as a father. When my wife looks at me the last time, my work is going to follow me in the mind of my wife. 43 years ago, I promised her the moon, and I never did give it to her. She's going to probably remember that. But the thing that is so important to me, how is she going to remember me? Is she going to remember me as a good husband, as a good father? Is she going to remember me in a good way? Or is in her heart she's going to be saying, well, thank God he's dead? Now, you may smile and think, but that's been done before, friends. There's been some who thank God that that one's gone. You'll be remembered. Yes, wives, you'll be remembered. You'll be remembered whether or not that you were good to your husband, or you'll remember where that poor thing every morning had to just endure it. You'll be remembered how you treated him. But I believe we were the preachers, were we not? Preachers will be remembered. We'll be remembered as whether or not that we strived and worked hard for peace among God's children. We'll be remembered as to whether or no that we were peacemakers or troublemakers. I believe Brother Powell's pointed out some of this last night. We're going to be remembered. And you know what will be so sad? Our works will follow us. I was in a funeral procession going through a land and overheard one preacher say to another, as he looked at the preacher in the casket, thank God he's dead. He caused more trouble among the old Baptists than anybody else. He caused more confusion. He caused more trouble. Preachers, hear me carefully. The last time that I preached this sermon in this way, there was a preacher too who took offense to it, said I was talking to them, preaching to them, saying that they were the ones who was causing the trouble, and that I took the liberty of the pulpit to point them out. Friends, remember this. I'm not pointing out anyone, but I've always been taught if the shoe fits, you just got to wear it. And remember, I didn't make the shoe. Yes, we'll be remembered as whether or no that we weren't troublemakers. We'll be remembered, preachers, as to whether or no that we were good preachers who studied the Bible, who had God's cause at heart. Or we'll be remembered as a troublemaker, and it may not be said, but it'll be thought, well, thank God he's dead now. Maybe we can all get together. Friends, I don't want to leave here that way. I don't want to leave none of you that way. I do not want anyone to ever have to say, well, it's the 16th year and Brother Lonnie's dead, and thank God he is not with us anymore. I'd hate to have to leave you that way. Preachers, think upon it. Your work will follow you. May the Lord richly bless you all.